Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafemc and on Twitter at radiocafemc. I'm very happy now to welcome Darius Brubeck. He's a jazz musician and educator. He's the son of the great Dave Brubeck, and he will be playing here in Santa Fe this Sunday, the 5th of May, at 4 o'clock at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center in a benefit for the Humankind Foundation, which we talked about yesterday here on this program. And he'll be on stage with Straight Up, which is made up of John Trent Acosta, Arlen Asher, and Andy Zadrosny, and vocalist Mara Du Studi, who joins us here in the cafe. Welcome, everybody. Pleasure to
Thank
be
you.
Here. It's great to have you. Now, Darius, you, of course, grew up in this extraordinary musical household with your father and then six kids, some of whom became musicians. Was it expected that you would also become a jazz musician?
Well, I don't know what was going through my parents' mind as far as that goes, but I think there was such a sense that music was a very natural activity that there weren't necessarily professional expectations about it until somewhat later in life. I thought I would probably, for a while anyway, I thought I would be doing some kind of academic thing, and did in a way. For almost 25 years, I had a jazz program in Durban, South Africa.
What was it like? I mean, everybody just naturally picked up instruments. You naturally started playing piano. Did your father teach you directly, or was it just sort of in the air and you taught yourself a little bit? Or what was it like?
Oh, it was a mixture. He would show me, you know, some things directly, but it kind of worked in terms of birth order. I'm the eldest, so I played the piano, and there were, as Dave's career, you know, really took off, there were, of course, rehearsals at the house, and there was a drum set, and there was a bass. So Chris, who was the next, well, in fact, there is a brother, Michael, who died in 2009, took up the saxophone. Chris took up the bass, and Dan took up the drums, which is just about how you always see musicians listed on a CD. And then brother Matthew was born later, and so there was kind of this cadre going through that was a jazz quartet, and he took up the cello and became both a classical and jazz musician. But as far as like the learning, it was a lot through absorption, some through direct teaching, and of course at various times in my life I had real piano lessons. So it was a combination of everything you can imagine, but the most important shaping influence for the kind of music I actually perform, I would say, is the environment.
Which, of course, included so many people who were visiting, who were the great jazz musicians of our time.
Yeah, some of them, and I think a very important thing is just to be around when rehearsals are taking place. And you kind of see something that sounds good to you anyway because they play their instruments so well. But, you know, their dissatisfaction with it until they've shaped it and really, really fine-tuned the performance, it gives you, a better critical ear, and you understand what goes into it. I'm sure Maura knows what I'm talking about there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it's sort of like a osmosis process when you're around great, talented people, and I learned acting from my father that way, and that's really how I learned what I do now, too, so absolutely.
Darius, you went to South Africa, as you mentioned, and started a program in jazz studies at a university in South Africa during the apartheid period. How did this come to pass?
Well, it's quite a complicated story, but there are a couple of shortcuts in there. One is that I met my wife in New York, but she is a South African, and she left after, you know, a period of kind of intense political activity, and she was very well connected with people in the liberation movements as well as with the music scene. So we met when she was producing a concert at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine on Duke Ellington's birthday, which is April 29th. So that's one of the sort of foundational things. And I guess another reason was the opportunity. I mean, it may seem ironic that a white American should come to Africa to start a jazz course, but the opportunity to do that when none existed, where none existed previously, it just was a very powerful lure. And in a way, you know, it started off as a 2-year contract. And in a way, I kind of looked at it sort of like Peace Corps or something, you know, chance to do some good in the world and then get back to hustling gigs in New England and New York. But it turned out really to be my life. I mean, it was kind of the main thing I've done. It lasted for 23 years of full-time work and a couple more years where I tried to move out to let younger people in, where I did 6 months a year in 2005, 2006, and then we moved to London, which is where I live now.
It's such an interesting thing that you did. So you are an American white jazz musician bringing a jazz program to South Africa, where you presumably had both black and white students.
Yes.
And this is a form that has obviously deeply African roots, and at the same time, it's so fundamentally American. What was that process of teaching and learning like?
Well, I think it was always an exchange. You know, it's important to understand that there was quite a vital jazz scene in South Africa. And if you think back to the 60s, people like Hugh Masekela and Abdullah Ibrahim, who was then known as Dollar Brand, were making quite an impact internationally, but they felt that they were working in exile, that they couldn't really work in their own country for many reasons. I felt that what we were doing, when I say we, because my wife Kathy was very much a part of this from top to bottom, was doing something that was transformational within an institution. It was bringing in black students. It was validating international culture, which didn't have any particular racial overtone in itself, but obviously the leading figures from Louis Armstrong to Coltrane were black, but also people like my father and Benny Goodman and so forth. So it was setting an example or establishing a different cultural model that, you know, how you could see the world, how you could cooperate. And what I mean by exchange is that South African jazz is quite distinct. It's modeled on American jazz, but of course it has other roots and influences, and that comes through too.
Now, your father, Dave Brubeck, was very much against racial segregation, and there are stories of canceled concerts in places that objected to his having a black player in his quartet. And it seems like this is another, perhaps, way that you followed in his footsteps in fighting against racial prejudice and bringing people together. Did you and he talk about this much?
Yes, we did a lot. He was very interested in my work there. He was very supportive. He and my mother hosted student groups from South Africa when they came over here to perform and to tour and to learn about the United States. They gave money to our scholarship program there. So, yes, there was a sense of it being a direct continuation.
How has your own music been affected by having lived for so long in South Africa?
I think it is a very shaping influence. I played with really great musicians over there, and it was a direct influence. And I think maybe the music is a little bit more direct, a little bit more gospely and bluesy and emotional. But when I say things like that, it sounds like I'm making a comparison that implies that other, you know, that Americans lack these qualities. I don't really mean that, but what I mean is that there's a real community feeling in the performance of jazz in South Africa, the way it's performed, where it's performed. You have an important social function it isn't just about the art form, although that's important. It isn't just about displaying musical skill. It's like really fulfilling a social need, an individual need that people have. And it's very difficult to explain unless you've experienced it. But it's almost more the kind of experience you might get if you were playing religious music in a Baptist church or something. It's that kind of, you know, emotional wave. And of course, that doesn't carry through to every setting, not even in South Africa. But it gives you a sort of attitude about what music can be that's a little different than, say, what your attitude might be if your main way of performing it would be before a very knowledgeable audience in New York clubs. It's very different from the way, say, a Berkeley graduate would approach playing.
Yeah, very interesting. I was watching a documentary about Dave Brubeck, and he talked about traveling around the world and said something like, rhythm is really the international language, not melody or harmony, but rhythm. And I was wondering, what was your perspective on that? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think he explains it very well. In that interview, he said that the heartbeat is the first thing we hear, and it's probably the last thing we'll hear. So that is a common denominator. I suppose you could say every kind of music you can think of is kind of decorating rhythm with different things, with words, with notes, with timbres, with interesting orchestrations. But he said it also for another reason, which is that he found, well, his own style of playing is very harmonically elaborate, but he found that when he was playing in India and Pakistan and Afghanistan, places like that, that it just didn't connect with people. It wasn't that they didn't like it, but it didn't carry any cultural significance. So, you know, we hear chords as being more or less dissonant, for example. You know, that there's like very straight harmonies like you might hear in a church choir, and then there's dissonant chords that you might hear in Dave Brubeck or Stravinsky or, you know, even more modern things. That is cultural rather than universal. And I think that's what he was pointing out, is that harmony and melody are cultural, but rhythm really seems to connect all of us.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because, I mean, there's so much of his music that, for example, I mean, the very famous Blue Rondo a la Turk that we started out the show with today is a rhythm that, well, certainly when he wrote that tune, Americans maybe weren't that familiar with or that comfortable with. I mean, I think there was a time when Americans, white Americans, heard African drumming and they didn't know what to make of it. And that's something that I think is also kind of crossing cultures too. I mean, learning another culture's rhythm, maybe it comes naturally, but I think there's quite a learning curve as well.
Yeah, and it's ongoing. And you mentioned Blue Rondo a la Turk. That is just a very popular rhythm in that part of the world. I was teaching in Istanbul on a Fulbright grant recently, and you really did hear it all the time, just like you might hear a hip-hop rhythm, you know, just in a passing car or whatever, and certainly street musicians playing music like that. In America, I think a gradual change that might be interesting it'd be interesting for me to hear whether you feel this is true living in the Southwest, where I've never lived. But I think a gradual change has been more and more assimilation of Latin American musical culture and rhythms, and along with that, a better understanding of how to differentiate between, you know, what sounds Mexican versus Puerto Rican versus Cuban versus Andean, you know, whatever. Is that, I mean, to me, that seems like kind of a thing that's been coming for a long time, and it has its roots in the 40s, but now it's really big time in the 21st century. Would you agree with that?
Well, I personally, I mean, I'm a salsa and Latin music DJ, so I have a very deep and strong connection to those things. I don't know if I can generalize. What about you, Mara?
No, I think definitely there's a greater awareness of Latin music all over the United States now, you know, with the influx of many more Latin American and Mexican people living here. But I think the American public in terms of music and certainly the influences coming into jazz are much wider and better understood of the specific influences, as Darius was saying, as, you know, mariachi and Mexican music influences as opposed to Latin American, Brazilian, all the varied influences that come from South America.
That's right, yeah. We talked yesterday to Kristen St. Clair about the Humankind Foundation. Darius, how did you come to support their work?
It's very easy. I got a letter from Kristen, and then she was on the East Coast a few years ago, and, you know, I mean, we hadn't seen each other for decades, literally, but we connected very easily, as one does, because, you know, in the intervening time, she'd spent so much time in Africa, and so had we. She conceived of the idea of there being some kind of fundraising concert, which is finally going to take place on Sunday, but I think we've been kicking this around for 3 or 4 years. We had talked about my bringing a band from South Africa or from London or bringing my brothers, and all of those things were too elaborate and too expensive, and the point of a fundraiser is to raise funds, not to go into debt. So finally, it's really happening, and I'm very pleased about it. And the Humankind is a charity. I don't think that is well understood in the U.S., but there's quite a similar movement in the U.K., where I live, where the issues that Humankind deal with, and I think Maura and Kristen are better prepared to speak to that, but it really has to do with the treatment of women in certain areas and certain cultures. That problem is better understood in the U.K. Here, I think we're just beginning to learn about it. And I think one of the reasons for that is it's the kind of thing you sort of don't want to know. But there it is. In the U.K., there's 65,000 cases a year reported of FGM, for example.
Wow.
So think about what's unreported.
Exactly. Well, it's just about time to go, and I'm going to turn to Maura Studi in a moment, but I want to thank you, Darius Brubeck, very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte, and thank you, Maura. And I hope I wasn't ending the interview on a downer. Let's just say that I've had the unique experience of meeting the band I'm going to play with on the air. I spoke to John and Arlen Asher for a radio interview. Now I've just met Maura, so that just leaves Andy.
Right,
and I don't
right.
think that normally happens, but it seems to be a nice way to set up a gig.
And they're wonderful players. It'll be tremendously great fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm really looking forward to it. And ladies and gentlemen, come to the concert. It won't just be a jam session. I'm flying out on Friday. We're rehearsing on Saturday. And we'll have a repertoire that mixes South African music, Dave Brubeck music, and a bit of my music and some standards. And as Mary Charlotte says, they're all terrific musicians.
So, Maura Du Studi, you are going to be the featured vocalist at this event on Sunday. Have you been singing jazz all your life?
I have.
How did you start?
Well, I come from a theatrical family, which most people know. My father was an Academy Award-winning actor, Jack Albertson, and I'm also an actress. But, well, growing up, my mother played a lot of Tony Bennett and Sarah Vaughan and Peggy Lee. And so I just grew up with a lot of music or musicals. You know, I was singing from the time I was a little kid with records and stuff. Then as part of a theatrical training, it was just expected that I would take voice lessons as well.
That's just part of the deal when you...
Yeah, because, you know, you might go into musicals or something, which I never actually did. But when I was very young and living in New York and studying at HB Studio acting, my father asked somebody to find an accompanist for me. And lo and behold, they found a man who worked with Tony Bennett. and was a fantastic man, a great big Italian man who looked like Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes kind of guy. But he was an incredibly sensitive player and a dear sweet man. I had terrible stage fright. So I was finding that singing was an easier way for me to get in front of an audience because I could go showcase or in little clubs and sit in with people and just get in front of an audience. And this man was so dear. His name was Tony Tamborello. And, you know, he looked at me one day and he said, you know, you are really good and you should come and sing with me in this little club down and on the Upper East Side, you know, every week. And, of course, he guided some of my selections. And that's how I became really a jazz vocalist, kind of by default.
And have you done that ever since, or your career has sort of been also acting as well as music?
Mm-hmm. I do acting as well, and I teach acting, as people in Santa Fe know. But yes, I sang jazz in Los Angeles, which is where I'm from originally. I was actually singing at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, their lounge called the Cinegrill, which is kind of famous in L.A., when I met my husband, Wes Studi. He came to hear me sing, and he's not a big jazz fan, but another friend brought him, and of course he's a big jazz fan now.
Right, I should hope so.
He better be. And of course we've had a rock band together too. When we first moved here, I didn't think a very big jazz scene, and I had a little boy that I had to raise, and so Wes and I have still a rock band that we still work with occasionally. But about 6 years ago, I just started really missing jazz and, you know, doing that. And God love him, Dick Hogel, a local personality and drummer who had run sound for our rock band and knew that I sang jazz, too. And he had a jazz quintet, and he said, come sing with us. And that was such an incredible opportunity for me to get back into singing jazz and working with some of the really terrific jazz players that are here locally that live here. Like Dick and Arlen Johnson, Tom Ream, Dave Anderson, another
right.
really fabulous sax player.
Right, who was featured on the Brubeck tribute not too long ago.
Yeah, and Dave is part of a trio that I work with locally, although I haven't recently, because I've been busy recording a CD.
Ah, excellent.
Mm-hmm. It's all jazz, and I purposely chose an interesting format for it that's based on influenced or inspired by some recordings that Sarah Vaughan did in the 60s with just guitar player and bass player and vocals. That's very intimate and sort of sexy. And so that's what my CD is. I'm recording it with a terrific jazz fingerstyle guitarist, an award-winning guitarist from Denver named Sean McGowan, who is coming down for the concert, and he will be playing with me.
Excellent.
And so I'm really excited about this. This is the first time I'm doing this material publicly.
So Mardu Studi will be joining Darius Brubeck at this concert on Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo at 4 o'clock at the Lenzic Performing Arts Center. It's a benefit for the Humankind Foundation. And just amazing players. I mean, Darius Brubeck, son of Dave Brubeck, and then the whole group of Straight Up with John Trent Acosta, Arlen Asher, and Andy Zadrozny, and vocalist Mardu Studi. I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure.
And I am now very happy to welcome Diana Delling. She is with the Lenzic, Santa Fe's Performing Arts Center, and she's sitting in with us today speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's so nice to have you here. You work at the Lenzic, and there's some wonderful stuff happening at the Lenzic this weekend. Do you want to tell us about the Trey McIntyre Project?
I would love to. This weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, Lenzic presents Trey McIntyre Project. This is a contemporary ballet company out of Boise, Idaho, but they're nationally acclaimed, internationally known. Their choreographer, Trey McIntyre, has worked with the Houston Ballet, the American Ballet Theater, New York City Ballet, and they'll be bringing three pieces tonight to the Lenzic.
Is it tonight only?
It's tonight and tomorrow night, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Both nights, 7:30. Tickets are $20 to $50.
And I saw the photograph of Trey McIntyre, or of his company, and they're fantastic. They're just incredible movers.
They really are. They're athletic. They're graceful. They're very, very great to watch, and I think it'll be a stunning performance.
So that is happening at the Lensic tonight, and of course on Sunday at 4 o'clock, as we talked about Darius Brubeck and who we just heard from.
Exactly, and that's a benefit, as I'm sure you've talked about, for the Humankind Foundation.
Very much so, and that should be a terrific show. Now, we have to, of course, talk about the Cat of the Week. Today's not a Cat of the Week. We have an adoption event that's happening at PetSmart for the National Adoption Weekend. So Felines and Friends, which is the local cat organization that gives us the Cat of the Week every week, we'll be at PetSmart, and all kinds of good little kitties will be up for adoption. So it's Friday from 2 to 5, Saturday from 11 to 2, and Sunday from 12 to 3. So that's all at PetSmart and Felines and Friends.
There's also a 10K race and a 5K dog walk tomorrow. It's Paws for a Cause Santa Fe.
Yay.
That'll be at Bicentennial Alto Park from 8 to noon.
And that is, you can, what's great about it is you can do the 10K run or you can walk.
Right.
And you can walk as slowly as you want.
Absolutely.
You
can bring your dog too, which is a good twist and a great cause.
Exactly. All right. Collected Works Bookstore. Today at 6 o'clock, Gail Story is the author of I Promise Not to Suffer, A Fool for Love Hikes the Pacific Crest Trail. She's an inexperienced hiker and camper, and she left her comfortable urban life to walk this trail. And she tells this a very, as they call it, hilariously harrowing tale. And then on Sunday at 11 o'clock, Journey Santa Fe presents Overview of Water Law, Water Rights, and Water Conflicts in New Mexico with water attorney Peter White and Denise Fort, and that should be very important and interesting, especially did you hear that we now have water restrictions in Santa Fe?
I think we need them with this drought we've been having.
Incredible. Incredible. I can't even remember the last time it rained more than like 3 drops.
Dusty too.
Indeed. Sunday at 2 o'clock at Collected Works, Rosemary Zebart, author of Forced Journey, The Saga of Werner Berlinger. She will be there to talk about this book, which is about a 12-year-old Jewish boy traveling from Hamburg to New York City in 1939 and his struggle to make a life for himself. And she will be there with Santa Fe resident Gunther Aaron, who will speak about his boyhood experiences in Nazi Germany. Then Tuesday at 6 o'clock, Kevin Fedarko, who's the author of The Emerald Mile, will be at Collected Works. And he is talking about what happened in 1983 when there was flooding along the length of the Colorado River. And they decided to launch a small wooden boat named The Emerald Mile. Do you know this book?
I do. I know Kevin. Kevin is a former editor at Outside Magazine and a former Time correspondent at Time Magazine.
Oh, okay.
And he lives here in town. He's funny. He's articulate. He's really smart. And I think it'll be a really good reading at Collected Works.
Excellent. And then two more things at Collected Works. Wednesday at 5:30, science writing workshop with George Johnson and Sandy Blakesley, who are wonderful science writers. They write for the New York Times. They've both written many terrific books, and they will be, and they teach other science writers, so they will be there with folks from that science writing course. It's free and open to the public, as are all of these events. And then finally, at Collected Works on Thursday at 6 o'clock, the Santa Fe Community College Student Writing Awards is a campus-wide writing contest with poetry, fiction, personal essays, and all kinds of things. And the winners will be there. 15 readers will read for 3 to 5 minutes each. Let's see, will they? I'm not sure exactly how this works. But anyway, it will be a showcase of talent from Santa Fe Community College. And the Richard Bradford Memorial Creative Writing Scholarship will be presented.
On a really different note, we've got something going on in the rail yard this weekend that's free and very visual. It's Seesaw, Wise Fool New Mexico's newest outdoor spectacle. You can read about it in Paso Tiempo. They have the cover story. And this is a brand new show from Wise Fool New Mexico. They will be performing in the rail yard Friday tonight at 8 and then again tomorrow at 1 and 8. It's free, and they're always great performers if you've never caught Wise Fool New Mexico.
Indeed. They are fantastic, and they've built this wonderful device, this kind of seesaw device, and it should be definitely worth seeing. And it's nice to see something outdoors. I got a note that the Española Valley Shelter and Humane Society is having a show called Wild Places, Wild Things. It's photographs by Bruce Papier, who is an animal rights activist, and it's at the Barkin Attic, which is the Española Shelter's new gallery space and resale boutique in the Candyman Center, which is right near Dotfoil Computer Services, whom we love. And the opening is Saturday from 4 to 7, and all proceeds go to the shelter.
There are lots of pet events this weekend. There's also a small dog rescue adoption event at Zoe and Guido's. That's on Saturday, May 4th, from noon to 3.
Excellent. And there is a ribbon cutting for a bridge that has opened in Ashbaugh Park, a ribbon cutting and picnic on May 4th from 3:30 to 5. And there will be music by the ATC Marimba Band from at 3:30, and picnic and ice cream and all kinds of good things. And the Ashbaugh Park is one of the parks that has benefited from the bond for parks and trails, and lots of nice new trails and bridges happening all around Santa Fe.
If you're in the mood for skirmishes and cannon fire this weekend, you can go to Battlefield, New Mexico. It's a Civil War festival.
I'm in the mood.
And who isn't? It's at El Rancho de las Golondrinas. It is Saturday and Sunday, all day from 10 to 4. And there will be reenactments of the battles of Glorieta Pass and Apache Canyon. And I think the Glorieta Pass battle is the westernmost Civil War battle.
That's probably right.
So I think you can dress up as your favorite Civil War hero, or you can probably come as you are and enjoy the show.
Excellent. Let's see. There is an open house and art show of... and a camera obscura. And a camera obscura is one of those things where you have a huge room and you basically punch a hole in it and everything, and the room is dark and everything going by outside gets projected onto the wall. So
cool.
There will be artists, Catherine Hamm, Julie Seaton, James Wakeman, and many more. And Ezra Shkolnik, who is an 11-year-old violinist and composer, is going to perform inside the camera obscura at 4:30. So that's today and tomorrow and Sunday. So the opening reception today is at 6, and then tomorrow from 11 to 7, it's open all day, and Sunday from 12 to 4. And that is at 76 East San Francisco Street, above the Overland Sheepskin and Diva Diamonds on the Plaza. For more information, 505-780-0311. And if you've never seen a camera obscura, it's truly great fun.
I'd like to mention another event coming up at the Lensic. You've had the folks from Fusion Theater Company on your show several times, and they will be coming back to the Lensic on May 7th and 8th, that's Tuesday and Wednesday, to present Charlotte Jones' play Humble Boy. This is a contemporary retelling of the Hamlet story. It's about an astrophysicist who's very bright, but he has some troubles emotionally and with relationship matters.
Shall we say.
Yeah, when he returns to his family home after the sudden death of his father. That's at the Lensic Tuesday and Wednesday at 8 p.m.
And if you're not used to going to plays during the week, ladies and gentlemen, this is worth it. I've seen a couple of things by the Fusion Theater Company by now, and they're very, very good.
They really are. I've seen every show. They're presenting a Santa Fe season this year.
Yeah.
For the first time at the Lensic. And this play sold out at the Cell in Albuquerque. It's really hard to get tickets down there, so come up here and...
We have a lot more seats here than we have at the Cell in Albuquerque, because that's a really small theater, so it's definitely worth seeing, and sometimes people talk about how they wish there was great theater in Santa Fe. This
they
is
do.
Very, very good theater.
And also, one of the stars is Akushla Bastable, who's a Santa Fan and has also been on your show.
Yeah, we just had her and Dennis talking about this the other day right here on the Radio Cafe. Let's see. David Geist, Geist Cabaret. He will be at Pranzo Italian Grill tomorrow evening, and he just plays wonderful Broadway tunes and wonderful piano in that nice upstairs space up there. And let's see. Yeah. So for more information, 984-2645.
There's a neat opening at the Patina Gallery tonight. There's a reception from May 3rd tonight, 5 to 7, for a show called World Jewelry, Jewelry for the 21st Century. Patina Gallery is on West Palace Avenue, 131 West Palace, and they'll be featuring several artists who work in very contemporary, cutting-edge art jewelry. It's wearable art.
Nice. Very interesting. What else? There is a new veterinary clinic that's having an open house today from 4 to 8 in the evening. It's called Bounce Back Integrative Veterinary Rehabilitation, and I think they do kind of innovative forms of physical therapy and things for dogs and cats and other animals, I suppose, that have been injured. That's at 1541 South St. Francis Drive from 4 to 8. And for more information, bouncebackvetrehab.com.
At the New Mexico History Museum on the plaza this weekend will be on Sunday. There'll be a presentation called I See Your Outfit, Historic Cowboy Clothing. It's a talk by the Emmy Award-winning costume designer and historian Kathy A. Smith, and she'll talk about what it takes to look authentic as a cowboy.
Which is different from being authentic as a cowboy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but I think we have some of both here in Santa Fe, so if you want to look even better in those boots, you should come out to the History Museum on Sunday afternoon.
And they've got a great cowboy show over there, which is great. They do such a good job over at the History Museum.
They do, and it's called Cowboys Real and Imagined is the show.
That's right. I remember when I very first started doing this show almost 10 years ago, one of the first people I had on the air was a cowboy historian who basically wrote about how there is no such thing as a real cowboy anymore. People driving around in trucks and going and taking hot showers, and he described what the cowboy life was like in the 19th century, and it was brutal.
I bet. Bacon and beans.
The bacon part sounds good. I forgot to read the other day, our dear friend Issa Nyafaga has been teaching, and he has a wonderful colleague who's an artist who's made mixed media paintings. The show is called Emergence by Karen Dew, and we've missed the reception, but if you want to head over there, it's at Volume Hair Salon at 933 Baca Street, Suite D. So that is Karen Dew's very nice paintings.
This weekend at Temple Beth Shalom, which is at 205 East Barcelona, they're hosting the second annual Jewish Arts Festival exhibit and sale. You can go there on Saturday from 5:30 to 7:30. There's a gala reception and art opening. And on Sunday, there's an art show and sale. That one's free, and it's from 10 to 4 at the Temple Beth Shalom, 205 East Barcelona.
Excellent. Now, did you read this one already, the show called Not Your Mother's Jewelry?
That is. That's, you know, I had the wrong name of the show, but that is that at Patina Gallery?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, all right. So that we've done that. And let's see, what else? I got a note that Women's Voices 2, young women from Santa Fe University of Art and Design and New Mexico School for the Arts, along with experienced actors, playwrights, is having an event, let's see, May 4th and 5th at 2 in the afternoon at Warehouse 21, which is on Paseo de Peralta. You can call 629-6517 to make reservations or go to sfrep.org. That's for Santa Fe Rep. And looks like that should be very interesting. I guess they did the first Women's Voices last year, and it was quite a successful event, and they're doing it again.
Great. Tammy Garcia, a very popular Northern New Mexico artist, will be having a show at Blue Rain. It opened May 1st, but there will be an artist reception today at 5 to 7 at Blue Rain Gallery, 130 Lincoln Avenue, Suite C. And the title of the show is Neo-Traditional, 15 Years in Bronze.
Very interesting. The Taos Community Chorus is having an event called Sing Out, a tribute to African American spirituals, and that is Saturday, May 4th at 7 o'clock at Embuto Presbyterian Church in Dixon, and then Sunday, the 5th of May at St. James Episcopal Church in Taos. And then next weekend as well, there will be at different places in Taos. So they're basically going from one different one church to another and doing this event. So that should be lots of fun. For more information, you can call 575-776-3998.
There is a sitar concert recital tonight at Gig Performance Space. Roshan Bhartia, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, will be having a sitar recital at 8 o'clock at a gig. Gig is at 1808 2nd Street. It's right next to the 2nd Street Brewery.
And that looks like, I'm looking at the picture of that right now, and it's a really amazing looking instrument.
And Gig is such an intimate space. I'm sure it'll be a beautiful show.
Indeed. Let's see. On Thursday, the 9th of May at 7:30 at the James A. Little Theater, Allison Gopnik, who's a professor of psychology and philosophy at University of California, Berkeley, will be giving a talk called The Minds of Children. And I'm going to be interviewing her, I think, on Wednesday morning here on the Radio Cafe. So this is an event presented by the Santa Fe Institute. They always have an incredibly interesting lecture series. And if you want more information, you can go to santafe.edu and find out everything else that's going on at the Santa Fe Institute, including that lecture.
You can go to the Darius Brubeck concert this weekend, but there's also another jazz concert put on by the Santa Fe Youth Symphony. The symphony's spring concert series will continue with a jazz recital at 7 o'clock Saturday night. It's at Warehouse 21, 1614 Paseo de Peralta. And for more information, you can call 467-3770.
And we've already talked about what's going on at Journey Santa Fe. And here's another one. The Sound of Sunset, How to Write About the Edge of Time, an Earth Chronicles poetry workshop taught by Lauren Camp on Thursday, the 9th of May from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Santa Fe Art Institute. And there's a very small fee. You can call 424-5050 for more information. And Lauren Camp is a terrific poet. She's also a KSFR DJ who does a great show called Audio Saucepan. SFAI.org is the Santa Fe Institute's website, and definitely check it out.
The Center for Contemporary Arts, CCA, and Theater Grotesco will have a performance series that continues tonight with a staged multimedia piece by Laura Goldhammer. It's called Eventua is the name of the show. It will also feature a production called H. Thunderbolt by musician Colby Wilson. That's at 8 o'clock. It's sponsored or presented by the Center for the Contemporary Arts and Theater Grotesco, but it's at the Munoz Waxman Gallery at 1050 Old Pecos Trail.
Which is the other building at the CCA.
It's right there.
I know. It took me away. Anyway, so it's right at the CCA, which also always has terrific movies. I keep plugging this movie that I just loved so much called No. Have you seen that?
No, but I want to. It's got, who's the star?
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah.
He's not unhandsome.
No, he is not.
But that's not the reason to see it. The reason to see it is because it's a terrific movie. As I said, I've seen it three times. I'd probably see it a couple more times. But anyway, there's other things that we can get to in a moment going on at the CCA. But first, the Cinco de Mayo on ice. Cinco de Mayo is Sunday, but for some reason, the Cinco de Mayo ice show at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center is today at 5 o'clock.
And on ice. That's a twist.
Yep. Cinco de Mayo on ice. You know, if you've got a skating rink, then you just make it work for whatever the occasion
is. From hockey is this a show?
Yeah. Figure skating.
Nice.
Ice skating show. I don't know too much about it, but it should be really fun. Music, fun, and ice skating. And there's always a lot of amazing things going on down at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center. It's a great space.
Here's an interesting one. There's a geology hike. This will be down in Cerrillos, and it's led by local rock hound Scott Renberger. It's at 10 o'clock on what day? On Saturday. So if you want to go to this hike, a geology hike, Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning, call 474-0196.
Excellent. You know, I love it. There's just something for everybody.
There really is.
If you're an outdoorsman, you can go on the geology hike. And if you're an indoorsman, you can go to the movies or go to the
right.
Let's see. Here's another one. 5th Annual Folk Art Flea Market, Saturday, the 4th of May, from 10 to 4 at the International Folk Art Museum on Museum Hill in Santa Fe, 988-1796 for more information. And that should be great. That should be great fun.
This is
warming up for Folk Art Market. Go ahead.
Absolutely. This is something I've never seen. It's Zirkus Erotique Burlesque Company will be presenting something called Cinco de Mayhem at the Lodge.
This is
tonight. It starts at 9 o'clock, I'm sorry. And for more information, you can go to zburlesque.com, zeburlesque.com.
Excellent. Nothing like a good burlesque show.
To celebrate Cinco de Mayo, no less.
Exactly. The ice show, the burlesque show. And then here's another one. The Interfaith Community Shelter is holding its first benefit to assist and support the homeless and at-risk population in Santa Fe. It's tonight, the 3rd of May, at 6:30, and they've had generous support from Shamrock Foods and Hotel Santa Fe Las Campanas and many others. And four well-known chefs will each prepare a sumptuous course for dining of attendees. And let's see, how can you get tickets? I guess what you do is you call this. You call Interfaith Community Shelter at 795-7494. What else? Oh, here's another one. New Energy Economy is really getting very successful at putting solar panels all over the place. And they are having a dinner at Tusuki Village Market on Thursday of next week, the 9th of May, from 5 to 9. And if you basically just go there, bring a friend or whatever, go have a nice dinner there, you will be helping to get solar panels installed on the fire station near the market, because they're generously donating a portion of their profits from that evening to that project.
That's great. I think one of the fire stations, at least, already has solar panels, I believe. So that's a great development.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing what's going on. Solar panels are basically, they are taking a huge amount of energy and out of the sun and away from coal and gas and all those things.
And so what better place than New Mexico, obviously.
Exactly, yep.
I don't know a whole lot about this event, but it's an important one. NDI New Mexico is having their annual gala tomorrow night, May 4th, and it's called Fly Me to the Moon. If you're interested in finding out more information, you can attend a gala evening and support NDI, the National Dance Institute. You can call 983-7646, extension 116, or go to ndinmgalas.com.
The Sultana Belly Dancers will be at Counterculture tomorrow night from 7 to 9 in the evening. And there's so much going on. The Jimmy Stadler Duo will be at Vanessi at 7 in the evening tomorrow night as well. And Belly Dance by Modern Dance and Hip Hop. Belly Dance, Modern Hip Hop, all kinds of dance by Santa Fe Community College students will be at the Santa Fe Community College Campus Center at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Lots of stuff going, lots of dance stuff going on. We can't even read it all, but there's always salsa at the Lodge on Friday nights, which is great fun. And look, it's time to go. Do we have anything else you want to get in there?
I think we talked about a lot. There's a lot going on, and come downtown, go anywhere in downtown this weekend, and you're going to find fun things to do, I think.
Definitely. And don't forget the movies at the Screen and at the CCA and at all the other local movie theaters that we have here. Diana Delling is with the Lensic, which is Santa Fe's Performing Arts Center, an absolutely wonderful space. And she's been sitting with us today, sitting in, speaking of the arts. It's just great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. First time.
Yay. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at the Blender, which is what you hear in the background. No, podcast.
Smoothie.
What?
Maybe it's for us. Maybe they've got a smoothie on tap.
Oh, I hope so. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Always nice to hear from people, comments on the show, or anything else that you would like to say. If you want something read on Speaking of the Arts, you can send it in to radiocafe@ksfr.org. And if you send it a couple of days before you want it read, as opposed to a couple of weeks before you want it read, it's a whole lot more likely to go on the air. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz Etc. And I also want to thank Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. She does a wonderful job, as does everybody at KSFR, Santa Fe's only community public radio station. Hasta la vista. Here comes the news.